Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
17 years ago, the Syracuse Orange Men at that time won their only national basketball championship. Jim Boeheim was the head coach, Carmelo Anthony the most outstanding player, and our next guest was a sharpshooter freshman on that team who is now an assistant coach on Boeheim's staff. G-Mac, Jerry McNamara joining us this morning on the show. Jerry, good morning. How you doing?
DA, good morning, man. How's everything going?
Everything is good here, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us. And crazy to think it's been 17 years. I was a Syracuse grad, 2 years out of school when you guys ended up doing that. And one of the great parts about that run, obviously, was that we had freshmen on that team that just stepped up and led the team. Yourself, Carmelo Anthony, Billy Edelin, three freshmen that played significant minutes. What was the bond like between you guys stepping onto campus into a situation where you were front and center, the core of the team already?
It was a great group. I think the terrifying thing is it's 17 years.
I know.
That's how quickly that had gone by. You know, our group was pretty special. It was pretty obvious right away that we thought, you know, because we're naive freshmen, that, you know, we were really talented. But the way we kind of clicked as the season progressed, going into, I think, the Christmas break game, we played Georgia Tech. And going into that game, and that Georgia Tech team ended up making the national championship game the following season and lost to Connecticut. And we steamrolled them by like 30. And that was Chris Bosh and Jared Jack. And at that point, I thought, you know, this team's got a chance to be pretty good. Like we're playing pretty well, and we just beat a really good team, a really talented team. So. You know, I think the bond was what you mentioned, and it wasn't just the fact that we had freshmen that were obviously big contributors on that team. We had sophomores as well. We had, I think, the youngest team in the NCAA tournament the year we won it. You know, with, I think, you know, Craig Forth and Josh Pace and Hakeem Warwick all being sophomores with our freshman group. All three of those guys contributed. Matter of fact, all three of those guys probably won us a game throughout that tournament stretch. So, just a unique group. We actually had some really good news inside the family. Josh Pace just was named a head coach this week.
Nice.
You know, and so, and women's basketball, he's done a great job. Western New Mexico. So we're really excited, and obviously it's been a lifelong you know, bond that we've developed, but, you know, that year in particular, the 2002-03 season is, you know, it's hard to believe it's 17 years because at some point throughout a day, anybody that's won a national championship or ended up on a pile at half court, at some point it probably crosses your mind.
Yeah. You guys began 11-1, would finish the season, the regular season, 23-4 heading into the Big East tournament. But Jim Boeheim has kind of historically not been very kind to freshmen. And as you said, it was a really young team. Was he hard on you guys in terms of playing time, shots taken, etc.? Or did he realize, because you guys were such a focal point of the roster, that he had to be a little bit more flexible than he had been with previous freshmen and sophomores?
I think the flexibility came in maybe the minutes. Certainly not in the treatment. You know, the treatment was, you know, we were held accountable for, you know, quite a bit. You know, I remember the Oklahoma State game where we were down 17 in the first half, and, you know, really that other group, the second group coming in that, you know, could have been starters, you know, guys like Josh Pace and Billy Edelin, I thought, you know, won that group. And some of the shot selection that Carmelo and I had taken in that, you know, I don't think Coach was too happy with. And, you know, he sat us down and talked to us and you know, said, listen, I don't necessarily want that. I don't think he said it to me that politely or to Mello that politely. But, you know, he is. You know, he's a demanding coach. You know, he expects you to play at a high level, and he demands it every night. I think that's why he's probably a Hall of Famer. And, you know, that's the way it went for us. You know, I think it's nice when you go and you know you have full confidence in your ability from the head coach, but he also holds you accountable when you're not playing to it. So, yeah, it was one of those unique situations where I think he probably, you know, Mello, it was a no-doubter. I mean, that's obvious. You know, the fact that his talent was so high, you know, he probably should have been National Player of the Year. He's that good. And then my situation was probably like, all right, I understand what the ability to stretch and shoot does for this of what we have around. So, you know, it was up and down as far as trying to figure out what coach, how he, you know, wants me to play, you know, right from the start. But, you know, it was actually the loss against Memphis in the Garden early in my career, like our second game, first or second game, where I figured, all right, he wants me to play the way I am, which is aggressive.
Jerry McNamara is our guest here on the show, assistant coach at Syracuse, as we look back at the 2003 National Championship SU team. So at that point in his career, Jim had a couple of Final Fours, but had lost to the National Championship game, 87-96. Did you guys have a sense going into the NCAA tournament as a 3 seed, hey, we want to win one for coach, or is that not really part of the equation? You're young, you're just there to compete, and you're just trying to win basketball games.
It's so far from reality until you get to it. I think we actually, the entire year, Quet Delaney was such a great leader on that team. And when we would bring it in, you know, people say together, family, we would always say, you know, Final Four. And, you know, you just say it because that's your goal at the end of the year. So when you hit the NCAA tournament, that's where your mindset is, but you can't look past it. I mean, you know, we just talked about the Oklahoma State game where, you know, we don't even make it to Albany if we don't get through Boston and Oklahoma State. And, you know, then the exciting thing for us was that it was going through Albany because we had such a great regular season that we got a chance to go through Albany. It was, you know, all orange up there, and that scene was incredible. And then when you get to New Orleans, I think that's when you start to think like, whoa, we're here, we're on this stage. You know, it was when we had our open practice at the Final Four was when I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. You're sitting in the Superdome and, you know, there's, you know, we're talking about 30,000 people at the Carry Dome. There's, you know, 30,000 people for like an open practice, and you're just sitting there like, this is insane. And
wow.
Yeah, you know, it's just such an event. It's really like everything that surrounds a Super Bowl. That's how the Final Four is. And it was our first time experiencing that. And that's when I think you start to think about it. It's like, man, look, we have a chance to do something that no one has done. But, you know, I think when it came game time, we were just really, like I said, naive, confident, young group that was playing our best basketball, which was the most important thing. We were playing our best at that time, and we had already been playing well. You just kind of clicked at the right time. Then when we hit the Kansas game, I think that's when you start to think, like, Coach hasn't done this. He hasn't had this yet. He's had chances, but he hasn't had this. And I think that's when, you know, it starts to click in your mind. And then the scary thing is where Kirk Heinrich had that last attempt, the field goal attempt.
Yeah,
you know, you start to think about the Keith Smart. You know, he's curling off, and I'm thinking about Keith Smart and Indiana, and you know. But you know, thank God we got it done. But it was really, really, it's kind of a, you know, two birds, one stone thing. We get to accomplish everything that we set out to do, and then at the same time, you get to be the first team to do it for a guy that's done it at such a high level, just hasn't been able to get over the hump.
So retracing those steps, you guys enter the NCAA tournament as a 3 seed. You go to Boston the first 2 rounds. You beat Manhattan, the 14 seed. You're down big to Oklahoma City, but come back and beat them by 12 to move to the Sweet 16 in Albany, just 2+ hours away from campus. So it's all Orange fans. And at the Pepsi Arena, you guys end up surviving a tight game against Auburn, the 10 seed, 79-78, move on to take on the 1 seed Oklahoma. You beat Oklahoma badly. You have another 1 seed in Texas coming up. You beat them by double digits. You've now beaten 2 number 1 seeds en route to a national championship game, both from the Big 12. You've also beaten Oklahoma State from the Big 12 as well. What was it like going into those games against OU and Texas where you're the underdogs and against a 1 seed, having Carmelo play the games that he's been playing, you shooting the way that you did and your team coming together in those two?
Yeah, you know, the Big 12, that's what, everyone, I think we beat 5 Big 12 teams that season. I think we beat Missouri, who was ranked 11th at the time during their regular season. For whatever reason, we played quite a bit of Big 12 teams, but they had a really good league. And, you know, going in and playing against Oklahoma, Oklahoma had a lot that surrounded them. Like, that was kind of the talk going into the tournament, was Oklahoma, that they're the sleeper. It's Oklahoma. And, our zone was just kind of everywhere. You know, it was one of those nights where they didn't have an easy time finding too many opportunities. You know, and when they did, it was probably a little too late because we hit a stretch where we got our run. And, that's the way things go with that defense sometimes. If you're struggling and an active group kind of smells blood in the water and now it becomes longer and more active, and, people are flying around, taking away angles and getting you in trap situations and rotating out of them. I think it gets scary, and it was that way against Oklahoma that night. We were really active. We got a couple, not only steals, but we got a couple shot clock violations. And then you hit Texas, and you're playing them. And Carmelo, I thought that was his best game in a Syracuse uniform. He was terrific. The second half of the Texas game, of the national semifinal game, was I thought Melo's defining moment of, I think TJ Ford was National Player of the Year that year. And Carmelo in the second half, I think he scored our first 12 of the second half, the first 8, whatever it was. But he was everywhere. He was terrific that game. And they came out hot early too, and we kind of weathered that storm, and then they made a push in the second half to start the second half, and it was just kind of history from there. We really closed it out. That team, I think we were down double digits 11 or 12 times or 13 times or something in that season and came back and won. That gives you the kind of idea of how competitive a group we had that season and why we were able to obviously win a national championship, but why. Because we had built into that, because we had the mentality that you can never put us away, and we're going to keep grinding out, keep clawing, and at the end it just worked out. It worked out because of that attitude. I felt like we continued to progress and get better.
Jerry McNamara, our guest, looking back at the 2003 national championship for Syracuse. You guys beat Texas, move on to the championship game, as you mentioned. You take on Kansas. You are red hot in the first half. You can't miss. None of you guys can miss. It's a 50-point first half for you guys. How did you feel as a freshman, national championship game in a football stadium, and everything you're taking is going down?
It's a good feeling. There's no doubt about it. It's a good feeling. Just one of those halves where you find a little bit of room. There's probably two. I made 6. There was probably 2 of them that weren't high-quality shots. But because of the rhythm of the game and because you hit a few, you take one because if you get a look, it's going in, it's going in. I feel great. But that was the mentality. The great thing for me all these years back is looking at pictures of my family in New Orleans. It really is. I mean, of all the things that happened, looking at pictures, I got my family when they're doing, instead of the horns up, they're doing the horns down after we beat Texas. The reason I love looking at the pictures is because I didn't see anybody. Our focus was so intent on being there for the reason to win it that I literally didn't spend time with my family. It was go to practice or go to shoot around go to the game, and then after you would do any of that, I'd be right back to my room or team meal, and that was it. So, you know, to get to experience the Final Four through their eyes of what happened to them and their experience, to me, it was the great part because it was so, makes it worth it how you can seclude yourself and isolate yourself to, you know, accomplish the thing that you're there to accomplish. And, so you've put your, all your focus into that one moment and to capitalize on it because of that isolation and, you know, blinders on, I felt like that group was able to, and me individually, I was able to capitalize on my moment because I had been preparing for it. That's what I was there to do. That's what I was focused on. And, just the opportunity of a lifetime to try to go out there and make something happen on a big stage. And I was fortunate to do that, but I felt like I had prepared both physically and mentally to be there.
You survive the Kansas Jayhawks, Akeem Warwick's block at the end of Michael Lee, 81-78, confetti comes down, you guys are national champions, and 17 years later, you're on the staff with Jim Boeheim. Boeheim comes off as a curmudgeon, he could be salty, he could be sharp-tongued, but it is very obvious his love of your team, of you guys, of the team that won that national championship, and a lot of his former players, but is there a different bond with him that you and Carmelo and those guys have because of the fact that you delivered the national championship?
I think so. I think there's got to be a certain degree of appreciation for both sides. For Coach, like I said, because he had an opportunity to do it, when you have that group that does it, I think that's got to mean a great deal to him. But for me, all these years later, getting a chance for the last 10 years to be on staff with him, a little over a year and a half as a graduate assistant, and now as an assistant, it's just been such a rewarding experience for me, both as former player and now current assistant coach. So he's completely opposite of what you see on television or what he is portrayed to be. Very thoughtful, very intelligent. You probably know this, how much he reads. I'll tell you a great story. We're playing Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech, and I'm sitting in the locker room before the game with Coach. And he's sitting there, and he's reading. And Coach Buzz Williams comes in, and he knocks on the door, and he's like, I was like, hey, Coach, he's in here. And he came in. So after the game, we're walking through. We had just played, and we're walking through, and Buzz stops me, and he says, "Does he always do that?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "Does he always read before the game?" And I looked at him. I was like, "Always." Like, he is on the bus. It's just, I think it's that same thing, the ability to separate and be calm and take your mind off the pressure of what you know you're about to do, which is go in and compete as hard as anybody in the country. And he's just, his mind for basketball, his mind for politics, his mind for, Hop, who's out at Washington, who obviously was an assistant coach here, who is doing great things as a head coach. He always said, "Coach Boeheim can take the most complicated thing and simplify it." And it's true. A lot of people will take the most simple thing and complicate it, but Coach is just, he's always had the mind of, just being able to take something that you think is like a Rubik's Cube, and he just can, manipulate and put it right in place. And, I've been very fortunate to have that relationship. He's been a big, big impact on my life and certainly a lot of former players' lives. He's done a great deal, not only for us, but for this community. This guy is a lot different than he's portrayed. So, I like that he's portrayed that way because at least we get the attention of the Cuse. That's our boy.
Well said. Jerry McNamara, one of the heroes of the 2003 National Championship Syracuse squad, celebrating 17 years since the confetti came down to the Louisiana Superdome, now an assistant coach under Boeheim at Syracuse's basketball program. Jerry, really cool to catch up, man. I appreciate the time very much. Thanks for being so generous with it and telling the stories. I really, really enjoyed that today. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.